Happy New Year. You know, I'm not going to talk about New Year. I'm not going to talk about the resolutions that we have all made. And you know, maybe I will. Maybe I'll touch on that a second. The resolutions, okay? Just really quick. You know, it's interesting how we make resolutions. And just a thought of it. Think about this. Where did resolutions come from? Why? What? You know, where did they? What was the origin of them? You know, as I think about it. You know, I'm pretty darn sure that's connected to the sacrament of reconciliation, wherein the act of, where the act of contrition, we make the resolution not to sin, to avoid the near occasion of sin. So I think that this is resolutions that we make through in the year is actually very secular in a sense, but yet tied to the understanding of confession. And as always, you know, I will be hearing confessions after Mass again. So let's start off right with resolutions, okay, with the good act of contrition, okay? That's why it's important that the act of contrition contains that resolution, all right? That's why it's important that it contains the resolution to not sin or to avoid the near occasion of sin. Okay, now onto our mom. How's that sound? Okay, let's go to our mom. Okay, why, you know, we are celebrating our mom today, okay? And we're celebrating the Mother of God. What a great gift she is to each and every one of us. So I hope that we use her because the power that flows from her is unbelievable. God doesn't withhold any of his graces from her. He doesn't withhold any of his graces from her. She knows our lives. She knows our hearts. So it's good to commit ourselves this year. Let's commit ourselves very simply to our Blessed Mother. As I said in one of my daily masses, you know, I've dedicated my life to Our Lady. And I, you know, my prayer is very simple to her. I say, Mom, I give you my life. I give you my vocation. I give you my being, my existence. I give you my free will. I give you my free will. And I give you my salvation. I give you my salvation. Because, Mom, if I go to hell, you're to blame. Okay? All right. She's beat me down a few times, guys, okay? I'm very blessed to have a very good mother. And my mom, she said to me, Jonathan, you know, she said, Jonathan, you know, I'm responsible for you until either I die or you die before our Lord God. I'm responsible for you before our Lord God until either you die or I die. Now, that's a mom. So she's going to make sure that when I'm off track, she gets me back on track. And that's Our Lady for us. You know, she's praying for us, Our Lady, at all times. If we're utilizing her, she's praying for us. She's doing battle for us. She's taking down the enemy for us. But we have to cooperate with her. I always say to her, I'm going to get into heaven. The only way I'm going to get into heaven is hiding under your mantle, Mom. Because it's true. You know, it's a struggle in this life. It's not easy. But what better person who in sacred scriptures interceded as Queen Mother of the, as Queen Mother, Queen, interceded for the people before the king. What a great and powerful intercessor we have. So the question is for each and every one of us needs to look at, do I utilize her fully and completely? I have to admit, I'm off my game here lately. I've been off my game. In what sense? I haven't been praying the rosary as regularly as I used to pray it. I don't know why I'm off my game. I think it's just pure laziness on my part. I always say I just don't have time. You know, but I do. I just don't know what's going on, you know, with me right now. You know, so I try to get it done as quick as possible. I got it done this morning praying it, so I hope that you all remember to pray the rosary today. So, you know, our mother, why is she so, you know, as I've already stated, she's so important in our life, but how does she affect us? How does she affect, and who is she You know, perpetual virginity of Mary is so important. You know, what an insult it is to our Lord God when we question the virginity of Mary. How dare we? How dare we even let that doubt enter our mind? If that doubt enters our mind, then we need to immediately offer it up to Our Lady and offer it up for the salvation of sinners right away. Please do that. Offer it up for the salvation of sinners right away when we begin to question it. The perpetual virginity of Mary. You know, we should never question that, because here is she is. She's the daughter of the Father, the mother of the Son, and the spouse of the Holy Spirit. She's not a polygamist. As I stated, Saint Joseph was chaste. He was a virgin. That's what the church fathers state. When they talk about brothers and sisters, if we go back to sacred scripture and we look at sacred scripture, brothers and sisters, it's actually brethren, brothers and sisters, brethren. And it's, those are from the same tribe. Those are from the same area, from Nazareth. Yeah, they mean cousins too, but they were from the same area. The clans, the family clans were huge back then. Our Lady is a perpetual virgin, and we should never doubt that. And remember, we insult the Holy Spirit, who is her spouse, and we cannot forget that. And Joseph himself recognized it. And that is why, in his righteousness, as I said in my last homily, he wanted to put her away quietly, let her go, because of his own shame of himself recognizing that he is the sinner. He didn't see sin in Mary. He saw sin in himself. He was the one that wasn't immaculately conceived. He was sanctified in his mother's womb, but he wasn't immaculately conceived, so he recognized himself as a sinner. And just like Peter told Jesus to depart from him because of his own unworthiness, so Joseph saw the same. You know, Our Lady, she is a reflection. She is also a reflection of the tabernacle. She is a reflection of the Ark of the Covenant. And we've heard that many a times. You know, our Lord God, so when we doubt the Immaculate Conception of Mary, when we doubt it, just remember the Ark of the Covenant. It was God who designed the Ark of the Covenant. Go back to sacred scriptures. He told them how he wanted the Ark of the Covenant to be built. He told them. He told them how he wanted the temple to be built too. And so in that ark that was built, they put cherubims on the top of it. And those cherubims, if we go back to the very beginning of Genesis, who kept people from getting into the garden but the cherubim with their flaming swords? Nothing unholy could approach the garden. And if Mary is a symbol, If the Ark of the Covenant, if the Ark is a symbol of Mary, and the Ark is guarded by the cherubim, do you not think Our Lady, the garden of the new Adam, the tree of life? Christ is the tree of life. So Our Lady's guarded by those flaming cherubim. Nothing unholy can touch it. And the last person that, when David was bringing the ark in triumph to Jerusalem, what happened? They started to stumble, the oxen stumbled, and the ark started to rock and was going to fall, and two men reached out and grabbed the ark to steady it, and what happened? They were struck dead immediately. And David, in awe, said, David, just like Joseph, in awe, how can I bring this ark into my home? Isn't that, you know, that's what he said, how can I bring it into my home? You know, and that's the same reaction that Joseph had. That's why God said, don't be afraid to take Mary into your home. Wow. Nothing unholy can reach out. And St. Joseph knew that. He could not lay a hand on her. He didn't even want to. He didn't want to. He's the most chaste one. You know, it's so beautiful because the ark, like I said, was covered with gold. It was covered with gold and these designs were put on it. That's why our tabernacles should be tabernacles of gold, because they are reflected of the ark. And if we go to Psalm 45, verse 9, it says, daughters of the king, you're ladies of honor. And then it says, at your right hand stands the queen in gold of Ophir. You see how it's actually referring to Mary, the queen in gold of Ophir, standing at your right hand. And the ark was covered in gold. And so this is a sign of Mary, the queen, the tabernacle. When we look at that, we should be reflecting upon Our Lady, that she holds the Son of God within. What powerful imagery that is for us. And that's why the tabernacle should not be ordinary wood, should not be something ugly, but it should be gold. It should be beautiful. It should stand out. I had somebody say to me, you know, that's a beautiful tabernacle. It was handmade by somebody. Rightly so. I was very quiet. I bit my tongue all the time on this. But it was wood, and they said, oh, that's so beautiful, you know, it's like boom, 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 boom. And I just like, yeah, it's very pretty. But the reality is, it's not the design that God wants. God wants the gold, because it's housing, because that's what He told the Israelites, it's going to house our Lord. So God designed it that way, told them how to do it, to build it with wood, but cover it with gold. And there's symbolism behind that. I'll go into a homily on that one of these days. Not right now, because you guys are probably here wondering, when are we going to... But my brothers and sisters, remember, honor Our Lady, because she'll get you to heaven. She'll intercede for us, but we need to embrace her. We need to embrace that motherly gift, and she will fight for us. She will do battle, so utilize her at all times. Let your hearts be attached to her, and simply each day give her your life. Give her your vocation. I give her my priesthood, which is my vocation, but your vocation, whatever your vocation is, whether it's mom, dad, husbands, wives, whatever, give that vocation to her. Give her your vocation. So simply just say today, after you have received our Lord and Savior in the most blessed sacrament, honor our Lord by giving your life to Our Lady. And say, Mother, I give you my life. I give you my vocation. I give you my being. I give you my free will. And I give you my salvation.